This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. What do a berry farmer, a beautician, and the creator of a purse organizer all have in common? All three are self-made entrepreneurs who produce thriving businesses all on their own, which is no easy task when you consider the failure rate of most new businesses. Jeff Probst took over the family farm and grew it to the popular Blooms and Berries Farm Market in Loveland. Beautician Temple Grace Hitt wanted safe, natural skin products, so she started Grace Green Beauty. And Hyde Park resident Lynn Marsteller wanted to revolutionize the way women transfer the contents of their purse from one purse to another, so she invented Purse Perfector. And they join us today to talk about their businesses, how they got their start, and how they've managed to stay successful. And good to see everybody this afternoon.
Great to be here. Thank you.
So let's start with asking how each of you got started on this entrepreneurial path. Temple, what got you rolling?
Okay, so my story really starts from my childhood of living in a home with cosmetologists. I always have had a love for nature and then a love for beauty. But when those two things really came together for me was after our first son was born, Nixon, about 11 years ago this month, actually. And what I came to learn is that a lot of the stuff out there is full with not only harmful things, but also things that aren't they're not beneficial. Lots of, you know, if you look for a product with shea butter, you will look at the ingredient list and it might be the last ingredient. And he had some skin issues, which really caused me to sort of take matters into my own hands. So that's where we started almost 11 years ago now.
Wow, 11 years, and you're still going strong.
Well, we didn't officially become a business with an online store until 2014.
Now, I have to ask you about this. I can't resist. Your first product.
Yes.
Was Shiny Heine?
Shiny Heine, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
That's a great name. What is that?
That is a natural baby wipe solution.
Okay.
There's no detergent.
Does this go back to your son?
That's right, okay. Yes. A lot of mothers don't realize that baby wipes, it's the wipe that causes the rash and the irritation, not the diaper. So we took the detergent out, and that's an oil-based cleanser, and it makes the hiney a little bit shiny. So that's where that came from.
Lynn, tell us about how Purse Perfector got started, because this is a really interesting idea.
Well, this is my 14th career, but lifelong, since about age 5, I've been a sewer. And I had just returned from a trip to Europe, and through sign language and trying to fake various languages, I asked women along the way, do you like your purse? It's a beautiful purse. Can you find your pen? And I could sign that. Can you find your phone? And most women said no, no matter how beautiful or expensive their purse was. So when I came home, I went to my sewing room determined to make the perfect purse. And that was in 2001. And when I put a piece of Velcro around my eyeglasses, my sunglasses, pen, and wallet, I realized they were all about the same height. And from there, it was really a eureka moment of, oh, if I just tailor pockets the way I do tailoring in a jacket and then connect them, it'll be perfect. So 12 different prototypes later, trying different fabrics, I constructed two sets of pockets that zipped together, creating another pocket in the middle, which seemed perfect for people with a larger wallet, or I found it fit my Kindle when I got my first Kindle. And so from there, it's 13 pockets, and I could store everything at my fingertips and reach into any purse. And with the zipper, I could just unzip it, fan it out, and put it in a briefcase or a big travel tote, or unzip it entirely and just take half of it in a small slim bag or a clutch for the evening.
I like the way you described it as a eureka moment.
Yes.
And I wonder, is that the case most of the time when people start a business? Is it you had a eureka? You realized there were products out there that weren't environmentally friendly, that weren't good for your skin, and that was your eureka moment too.
Right. It was birthed out of a need. I mean,
exactly. Yeah. It's when I kept thinking, how do I know this? As if I'd always known this is what needed to be made. And I searched everywhere I could. There was no such thing.
You went looking to see if anybody else had done this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then my husband thought I was a little crazy because I was so happy about using more purses in my collection. And then he realized you know, this is actually a really good idea.
And so you can just move it from one purse to the other. It's
you can see it right here. I just picked it up out of my purse.
Okay. So it's you just insert it in the purse and then it helps you.
Or a backpack or a briefcase or a travel tote or your suitcase. Don't worry about TSA. Just pack everything in your purse perfector, fold up your purse, put it in your roll-on, and get on the plane.
Very interesting. Jeff, tell us about the Blooms and Berries now, how you got involved, how that got started. That's a family
Absolutely.
Business, isn't it?
Yeah, the farm itself has been in the family since about 1939. And
about four generations?
Yeah, okay. Pretty much. You know, and my wife and I have our first daughter, and hopefully that'll be five, but we'll see where that goes in the long run. But in the meantime, you know, our idea was kind of born out of a little bit of a family history and a little bit of a need to find a way to pay for the growing cost of college. When I was in junior high, even, my parents were looking at the whole thing, and they knew that they wanted to give me an opportunity that would help kind of allow me to understand what I wanted to do and with my life. And if it didn't turn out to be the farm, then that's completely okay. But to understand what parts of the business world or what parts of not the business world I wanted to be in. And so we kind of got Blooms and Berries started. We planted about 5,000 strawberry plants and tried to do some different things. And when I was in college and paying my way through it, and that was nice and successful. The unfortunate side was my father passed away when I was a junior in college, and it was very challenging, right? I mean, it's very difficult to get through that. You're running a business, you're in college, and so mom and I didn't really have a lot or really anything at the time, and I graduated. I took a real job, if you will, for about 6 weeks, and I kind of paused and I said, you know what, if now's the time, like, I don't have a mortgage, I don't have a car payment, my student loans are very much under control, I really don't have expenses, we really don't have anything, but, you know, let's do this. This is kind of a nice opportunity and a nice time, and we didn't really know what direction we wanted to go into, but the business that we had kind of started really wasn't really much of anything. A lot of people knew me as, you know, in roadside produce stands through high school, and I made, you know, talked to the community a lot as I was out there running them individually. But that's kind of how it really started going at that point in time when I came out of school and I said, this is the opportunity, let's do it.
Yeah, the time was, sorry, in your case.
Yes.
Timing was very opportune.
Timing was, it was low risk on my personal side of life. Yeah.
So how successful has it been for you? How many years has this been?
It's been, that was 99, 2000. We got started. I graduated from college and from Miami in 2007. And it has grown in the last few years around 25% annually for the last 3 or 4 years. Just been a really big blessing for all the hard work that we've put into it and all the failures that we've had along the way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, what were some of the challenges that you had to get past?
Oh, my goodness. You know, we have had, you know, in my business in specific, in farming in general, you know, you have weather, perishability, seasonality, all those things are major issues. And I always say that, like, if this wasn't my passion, if I didn't really love doing what I do, I never would choose this business plan to deal with all three of those things. It's just, then why would you walk right into where, you know, for 6 months out of the year, you have no revenue and you have, you know, you have to deal with weather and it can be extremely expensive to do so. And farmers are never happy, right? We always complain about the weather. And, you know, perishability. We have products that don't have a shelf life. We can't put them in a warehouse and, like, sell them next year. It's mm-hmm. in the door, out the door, you know, so the customer gets the very best thing. And we like it. We like it. We love it. It just makes it a little challenging on the business side of things.
Linda, what kind of challenges have you faced in running Purse Perfector?
Well, I was going to tag on to what Jeff said. I do have an issue with inventory, managing inventory. When I first started, I had more inventory than I needed. So you sit on that, and that costs you money. So, and then from there, it's where do I get the fabric? And I get the fabric and zippers and ship them to the manufacturer. And I just want to go back. I have a U.S. utility patent I got in 2004 and then started manufacturing in 2009. After really trying to find a U.S. manufacturer, and it was my sewing teacher in San Francisco who made the connection for me after I think I talked to hundreds of people. But one of the challenges is how do you manage inventory, get product into the manufacturer, have the product made? You probably have the same issue, Temple, but Some of the other things, it's really a web store. When I started the web store in 2009, how do you know you have a good person to help you do that? And when do you know to cut the cord for that? You know, if the website isn't working for you and you're an online store like I am, that can be painful and expensive.
Mm-hmm. Temple, what's been your experience with doing this?
How tough has it been? It is tough. I have a hard time not having a brick and mortar store versus the online store that I have. Just driving people to the website. I'm doing okay managing my inventory and my quality control because we are the manufacturer. But just getting the word out of who we are and getting people to actually go to the website, once we get them there, they are repeat customers. But reaching the new people and the new customers has really been our biggest challenge because we haven't done an ounce of marketing outside of just word of mouth and social media. It's all been very, an organic growth.
Kind of a grassroots kind
right,
of thing.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And so now, for me, I just left my, quote, real job last August, where I was behind the chair doing hair for the last 10 years. And now I have jumped in full force to this business. And I have three young children and a husband, and he has a business that I help with. And so for me, the biggest challenge is, you know, personally just prioritizing and keeping my family first and you know, taking care of my responsibilities, but also ultimately just I have the product, I have the knowledge, and I have the brand, but just getting it out there to where people can experience Grace and really just making an impact and promoting Grace and not only the product, but what it means and what we stand for the world and just even for the community.
Well, Temple, you reached the point where you felt confident enough to leave your regular job. So you must feel pretty good. I mean, how successful has this
been?
Yeah,
I mean, we definitely are growing and moving in the right direction for sure. My husband, thank God for him, just having his support behind me because like, what was your name?
Jeff.
Jeff had said, it's tough. It's tough. There's a lot of stuff like us. We have raw ingredients. And things are perishable, and it's just tough. But we're making great strides, and I just entered the Artworks Big Pitch contest, and I made it into the top 8. So now that is where I'm looking for mentorship and hopefully the grand prize, which is some finances so we can launch our newest endeavor, which is an actual service. A organic facial that we'll be promoting and selling to salons and spas.
So how have you been able to make your business as successful as self-made entrepreneurs? Jeff, what do you think has been the key to your success?
Consistency, planning. I look at this purse organizer over here, and I'm in awe because it's such an amazing tool.
I wish this were TV so we could actually show this.
And I'm not an organized person.
Me either, Jeff.
Yeah. And so I think about it, how amazing it is, and I just think that, you know, that is a challenge that I have. But, you know, we get by that with just having a consistency. We have – and it takes a long time to figure out how to hire really, really well. And it takes a long time and a lot of mistakes on figuring out if I'm not growing sweet corn as good as I can grow sweet corn, then I need to find the best sweet corn grower in the area that can help me with that. And it's okay that I'm not the best sweet corn grower because I'm the best strawberry grower, or at least, you know, I like to think so. And so – you know, so those are the kinds of decisions and the things and the consistency that allows you to continue to grow. And we've really, it took us a long time, and we kind of set aside building a plan for our business because we wanted to really see where our core competencies were, our strong points, where do people want to see us? Where do we like to be in the marketplace? And so once we kind of have all those things, we were able to build a plan. And being able to use that plan to filter additional ideas as we have them and come up with them and see ideas in the marketplace, I kind of call it the profitability of no. Like if we don't say no to some things because it doesn't fit us or doesn't fit our brand or doesn't fit the farm or our employees or our feeling, you know, and then maybe it's okay and it's better for us to say no to some things. And I think that's just as important to be able to stay focused and stay on track and run. And I really like the analogy of using our plan as a filter. If it doesn't fit our mission and our visions and our core competencies and our, you know, our values as a, you know, as our farm and being in part of the community with the wonderful people that we have on the team, then it's best for everybody, even though it seems shiny and exciting right at the moment. You know, maybe there's a better opportunity that we're not seeing.
Well, it sounds,
having that trust.
It sounds like you're saying you're consistent and focused, but I also hear a message of being adaptable in there too.
Oh, absolutely. We're very dynamic, and it's almost caused me to be a little ADD or ADHD, to be honest with you, because, you know, we have to deal with it. You know,
it's your business.
Yeah,
you should be.
Yeah,
you should be concerned about
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Lynn, what about you? What would you say has been the key to making this whole project work for you?
Well, just like Temple, word of mouth to start with. When I got the first Purse Perfectors, it happened to arrive the same time I was having friends over. So the word of mouth from them, I had only 36, and they were gone in about 4.5 days. And so I had to figure out, okay, now what am I going to charge? And from there,
I bet at that point you were going, wow, I'm onto something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And people were starting to call and saying, I heard you have them. You have them. And I didn't. I was just really working on the trademark for a Purse Perfector. But from there, I've sold 17,000 of them. And it's been, you know, a coincidence, or not exactly a coincidence. The website started, I really didn't know what was going on. But a professional organizer came onto the website from New York City. She told her Park Avenue client who ordered one, who told her friends, because she was now using her Louis Vuitton and her Hermes and her Chanel bags that she'd just been collecting and not able to really switch from one purse to the next. So the National Association of Professional Organizers had their national conference in Columbus 6 months after I started. Packed up my little car, drove up there, and I lost my voice. It was the most popular booth at the conference. And from then, I learned about affiliate sales, which means somebody else will help promote it. They might pick up my blog post or post, you know, Purse Perfector has a new color. And so it's grown like that. But again, like Temple said, learning social media, it's not enough to have a great idea, great ingredients, and put it all together for a great product. Then you've got to learn several other industries, marketing, social media, Google Ads, do they work or not? When did they change the rules? How do I do shipping? What about, you know, what's my timing on getting inventory to the manufacturer to make it?
It's always bigger than you think it is.
And it costs more.
Every time.
Well, and finding the quality people
absolutely.
That are actually going to get you to your goal. I mean, I've made that mistake to where I talked to somebody who was a marketer, you know, and she had these big ideas, and I kind of was like, okay, and I, you know, I invested in that, and it didn't give me good results because
didn't pan out for you.
No, because she wasn't.
And that's painful.
I have a niche product. I mean, the green movement is a movement, and but you know, it's not for everybody.
Right.
It's for the people that really care about the green movement and what they're putting in and on their bodies. So the marketing has to be very strategic.
It goes with pricing too, because
They
might value green product, or they might value being organized, or they might value great blueberries, but are they willing to pay the price that it actually costs make it?
And we're about out of time. And Temple, it sounds like, and I think Jeff even mentioned this, you can't be afraid of failing if you're going to do this. You have to be willing to
Yeah. I mean, one of my biggest things really is just trying to put the right people in place and do things right the first time so that I don't have to go back and correct things later. I've learned that.
Well, thanks everybody for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was great.
Our pleasure.
Jeff Probst with Blooms and Berries Farm Market in Loveland, Temple Grace Hitt, who started Grace Green Beauty, and Hyde Park resident Lynn Marsteller, who invented Purse Perfector. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. The producer for today's show was Pete Reitmeier, with help from Kevin Reynolds. The assistant producer was Belinda Kai. Stephen Baum was the technical director. William White composed the Cincinnati Edition theme music. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now, coming up next on 91.7 WVXU.